is Ruthie. We're here at syndicatednews.net. We're talking to Nathan Fuller. And the reason Nathan Fuller is so important to us is because Nathan is live blogging from Bradley Manning's hearings. Bradley Manning, if you recall, collected some material and handed it to WikiLeaks. Nathan, you're with us, correct?
I am indeed. Thanks for having me.
Nathan, it's so important. What exactly did Bradley Manning say in his most recent statement? What did he say?
Bradley submitted a 35-page statement to the court supplementing his offer to plead guilty to lesser offenses than what the government is charging him with. The government charges him with 22 counts, including the most serious charge of aiding the enemy, and Bradley's offering to plead guilty to lesser offenses, smaller offenses like having unauthorized possession. And so this statement was an opportunity for Bradley to discuss why he gave documents to WikiLeaks, what he saw in Iraq and Afghanistan when he was an intelligence analyst, and to explain that to the American people and to the judge. He said that he saw horrific things in the collateral murder video, in Iraq and Afghanistan war logs that we have seen thanks to WikiLeaks for publishing them, and criminal backdealings is what he said, or almost criminal backdealings in the Department of State cables. And we learned a lot more about how his work as an analyst turned him onto researching things like WikiLeaks. I believe he was actually ordered to research WikiLeaks because it was an important thing for all military analysts to know about.
So he was told to go examine WikiLeaks by his superiors?
Yeah, in 2009, WikiLeaks came on the map when it began to release a lot of relevant information that human rights groups were taking notice of. And yeah, as a military analyst, he was asked to review WikiLeaks and what it does. And so he understood that it made information public that wouldn't otherwise be made public, frequently documenting horrific abuses and other things the public deserves to know.
And how do you know Bradley Manning? What's your involvement in his life? Are you did you know him from before he went in the service? Did you meet him in the service? Where did you guys meet? Where did you forge a friendship?
I work for the Bradley Manning Support Network, and we fund 100% of Bradley's legal defense. We pay his lawyer's fees and cover every single one of his hearings. But Bradley isn't allowed to speak to the public, so we haven't spoken personally.
It doesn't matter if you don't know him personally. If you're paying the bills, you matter. You matter a great deal.
Well, we also raise awareness about his case and write about it and try to explain to people why we think he's important and the precedent that the government is trying to set in trying to send him to jail for life.
And in the circumstance that we are a new media world, the idea that you're live blogging and tweeting directly from the court is extremely important.
Well, thank you. And it's been pretty heartening to see a lot more journalists take on that role now. There were nearly 24 reporters in the courtroom for Bradley's statement, even though in the earlier hearings there were only a few and it was a little less interesting, but just as important. It wasn't quite as dramatic, but you know, each hearing has significance legally and politically. And so that's why we've been at every single one.
Nathan, how did Bradley appear to you in court? How does he look?
He looks good. He spoke very calmly and articulately, even though it got a little emotional and intense. The statement described really horrific things, like he believed the U.S. gunships in the collateral murder video were like kids torturing ants with a magnifying glass, is what he said. They were shooting at wounded people and hoping the wounded would pick up weapons so they would be justified in shooting them down. They shot a van, and when they learned that it had children in it, they said, "That's what you get for bringing kids to a battle." And so he was really aghast at things like that. And so it was an incredibly intense statement, but it was also really compelling to hear Bradley in his own words say that the public deserves to know about these kind of things, and that's why he gave them to WikiLeaks.
Well, I understand his justification, and I don't mean to be the devil's advocate, but this is war. Didn't he expect that? I was thinking that as a male going into war, it was kind of naive for him to expect to not see things like that. War is horrendous.
Well, Bradley was in the Army, but he wasn't on the front lines. He didn't go in the Army to be a soldier. He went into the Army because, like a lot of people, he was poor from a small town and wanted to have the GI benefits. He wanted what he said real world experience. He wanted to travel and learn about the world. And he was an intelligence analyst. He knew a lot about computers. He wanted to analyze information. He said he had an insatiable curiosity. And so I think that he wanted to be able to make a difference from behind the computer screen in understanding how these wars work and how we can, and in his mind, how we can fight them more ethically. When he saw that things like the U.S. was helping Iraq detain dissidents just for publishing innocuous critical literature, he brought that to the attention of his superiors. And his superior came back and said, you know, keep quiet about this. Just keep helping them get more detainees. And so Bradley didn't really realize that that this was the kind of thing that he was expected to be complicit in. And so when he did, he realized he had to do something about it.
Now, you said his statement was a 35-page document that he offered today. Did he read it all?
He read the entire thing yesterday in court, and so that was nearly 2 hours. It was a long statement, and it was pretty incredible to hear the left.
Now that he's given his statement, what purpose does it serve?
Well, it's connected to last month in a way. Last month, the government successfully precluded Bradley from legally arguing that his motive is relevant to the biggest offense of aiding the enemy in most of the elements. So Bradley was not going to be allowed to present this type of whistleblower defense. But in offering this plea and this statement, Bradley can get his message to the judge and to the world that he was doing this for noble motives, and try to give some background and context to what the government wants to portray as merely a reckless, indiscriminate leak of classified information. In fact, Bradley said that he chose information that he knew specifically could not harm the United States. He chose Iraq and war log database information that had already that its significance had already faded just a couple of days. After each significant act happened, they reported about it, but just a couple of days later, it was not going to harm anyone to make that public. But he also chose Department of State cables that were not top secret, that were secret or lower. So he was very conscientious in how he chose these documents.
But I guess they're really not concerned with what decisions he made. Now, what was the government's response? What did the government say? How did they respond?
Well, Bradley said that Bradley is pleading guilty to lesser offenses. So the government is still allowed to prosecute all the original 22 offenses that they initially charged him with. And so the government stood up and said, given the serious nature of the offense, and they said as much in the press release today, given the scope of the offenses and the seriousness of the charges and the evidence they say they have against them, they still want to try to prove all the alleged offenses, all of the offenses, including aiding the enemy, that he indirectly aided the enemy. And so they did not appear moved at all by a Bradley statement in court, and instead just chose to proceed and try to prove that he aided the enemy.
What do you think the next step for Bradley Manning will be? What do you suppose is going to happen next?
We have two pretrial hearings coming up, one scheduled for April 10th and 12th, and one for May 21st and 24th. And these are in Fort Meade, Maryland. And if you're in the area or even in the greater area, you can find out information about how to attend these hearings or how to get a carpool ride to attend these hearings if you go to bradleymanning.org. And then Bradley has his court-martial trial in earnest is scheduled to start June 3rd, 2013. And so those will proceed as scheduled, and the minor pretrial hearings will deal with how to handle classified information at trial, and then we'll go to trial. And I expect the media and the public are going to start paying a lot more attention to Manning's case, especially after this statement.
Now, will the public have an opportunity to read the entire 35-page statement?
Certainly hope so.
Do you have a copy of it?
Unfortunately, the military has been incredibly secretive throughout Manning's case. The press say it's more secretive than some of the cases they cover in Guantanamo Bay. No, the government does not make any documents public in Bradley Manning's case. Until just the other day, the Department of Defense started to release some documents, some legal filings, and they're doing that very slowly. There are more than 500 documents totaling more than 30,000 pages just in this case alone, and they've just only released 84 so far. So it's very hopeful that they're going to release the statement soon, or that Bradley's lawyer, David Coombs, could potentially make it available. But that's yet to be seen, and I hope it does.
Do you see that they're going to possibly give him life versus death?
The prosecution has said they're not seeking the death penalty, so they cannot make this a capital offense. They could have initially, but they've said they're just seeking life without parole. So that would be the worst by far, if you got life without parole. They also, even if they don't convict him of aiding the enemy, the remaining charges still total more than 150 years in prison. So Bradley has an uphill battle to fight, but I'm hoping this plea offer is a step towards greatly reducing that.
It's heartbreaking to recognize the gravity. Was he being impulsive when he was doing it? Did he recognize that he'd be charged with treason and how serious this was?
Well, he knew he was violating Army regulations. He might not have known that the government would take an unprecedentedly broad interpretation of aiding the enemy. I don't think anyone could have necessarily foreseen that, although their egregiousness is not a shock by any means. But Bradley did say he thinks these are the most important documents of our time. He said he still believes that. In chat logs with Adrian Lamo in 2010, Bradley said he was willing to go to prison for life if it meant making these documents public. Bradley's a lot more conscientious than a lot of people think or give him credit for. He was well aware of what he was doing, and he believed it was the right thing, and he believed it was worth whatever sacrifice he had to make.
He will probably go down as a hero in American history, and the heartbreak is that he has to lose all of his freedom in order to be so.
Well, we're trying to prevent that. We're doing everything we can to get people aware about his case, and perhaps if it's politically unpopular enough, if enough people support Bradley, the prosecution won't seek a death sentence, won't seek the life in prison, and those who have sentenced him, the judge and the convening authority, will not sentence him that much. That's what we're working on.
And I wanted to know, give us your website again where the public may go and read about Bradley Manning and his hearings. Give us the website again.
Sure. It's bradleymanning.org. We have the notes from the courtroom. We have information about Bradley's background and how you can get involved and help us out and help Bradley.
And this organization, is it a 501c3? Where are you getting this funding?
It is we're a part of Courage to Resist, a 501c3, and yeah, we have all grassroots donations from people from around the world. A lot of really little donations from a whole lot of people, thousands of supporters, not just across the U.S., but across Europe and Australia, around the world. We have people sending in whatever they can to help pay Manning's defense fund.
And I'm noticing that a lot less people, and some who used to be more active and more vocal, have been reluctant to speak out on matters such as Bradley Manning because of FISA, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. They're so concerned. That FISA was written in such a broad language that you don't have to do much to get hauled off, and they apparently don't have to identify where they've taken you to, or what they're doing to you, or where you are.
It has a chilling effect. A lot of people are afraid to speak out in support of a whistleblower, someone the government thinks aided the enemy. guilty by association. It's a pretty chilling effect, and it has pretty wide-reaching consequences, and it's pretty troubling.
And even for someone like yourself or your organization, are you guys checking your phones all the time to see if you don't have bugs on there?
It's a concern, but and we did send a FOIA request to the military, and we learned that they could not respond because of an ongoing investigation. So we're under the impression that the support network is under investigation for one reason or another. Bradley's supporters, such as David House, have been stopped at the U.S. international border to have his electronics seized and searched. And so, yeah, it's a serious concern. It's no, it's not just theoretical. It's a real tangible concern.
And I have to advise anyone who's listening that now, when I want to know what's going on, if the topic is important, I actually listen to BBC or Canadian news or news outside of the U.S. because the U.S. news, I feel, is so controlled now that if I really need to know what's going on somewhere, I look outside the U.S. to get the news. That's a shame.
Yeah. The international media has been at least as has covered this at least as well as the U.S., if not far more. And that issue has come up in Bradley's statement, actually. Bradley did say that he wanted to get this information to a news organization, and his first choice was the Washington Post. He called a reporter there, and she was not interested, he said. Then he called the New York Times public editor office and left a message, and he says they didn't call him back. A lot of people are coming down pretty hard on them because it's pretty indicative of their response to these kind of things.
Now allows for radio stations to be established anywhere in the world, and I think it's important information.
I think so, too.
It doesn't matter what side of this case you're on, but we should know that it's going on, and to not know the details, it's a disservice to Americans.
Well, I appreciate your working to correct that and to counter that, and we're doing the same.
And as this case progresses, please let us know that you will be back and you'll keep us informed. We're followed by people from 72 countries. We have 185,000 Twitter followers, and the company is growing. We're moving to a new website. We are here, we're ready, and any news like this is extremely important. Bring it here to syndicatednews.net. We'll broadcast it.
Will do. Appreciate your having me on today.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you so much. And the website again is?
BradleyManning.org.
And is there a donation button on the BradleyManning.org website?
There is. If you want it to get there even quicker, you can just go to BradleyManning.org/donate.
There you go. Thank you so much for your courtesy. Thank you for joining us.
Sure thing. Thank you.
That was Nathan Fuller. And this has got to be one of the most interesting talks we've had about Liberty and FISA and all these other topics. Nathan is live blogging and tweeting from the hearings. And this is syndicatednews.net saying good evening. Drive carefully.